An expert weighs in on the Alaska Power Company's request to raise power rates. And a look at the race for Senate District Q. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday when a new mayor and two new assembly members will begin their terms. Former Mayor Jan Hill will take over for outgoing Mayor Stephanie Scott. Assembly members Jerry Lapp and Deborah Schnabel did not run for re-election. They will relinquish their seats to newly elected members Ron Jackson and Mike Case. After the election results are certified and new members and Hill are sworn in, the group will tackle a relatively short agenda. It begins with an ordinance to modify the amount the borough manager can authorize for change orders. Under new business, the assembly will discuss a comment from the borough on the Juneau Access Road project. There's also a letter from Vince Hansen, community manager for Haynes Assisted Living, asking the assembly to reconsider a vote from last meeting. The assembly at that meeting decided not to give the Veterans Village, which is run by Haynes Assisted Living, a tax break until a policy on community use tax breaks is revised. It will be up to assembly members to decide whether they want to reconsider that vote. The assembly will meet as a committee of the whole before the assembly meeting to hear a presentation from engineers about the condition of the LUTAC dock. That begins at 5:30. The regular meeting begins at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday. A complete agenda and meeting packet is available on the Haynesboro website. Also at Tuesday's meeting, the Assembly may go into executive session to discuss the Alaska Power Company rate case. Haynesboro and several other communities, including Skagway, are interveners in that case. The agenda says the Assembly will receive an update on the case in which APC wants to implement an 18% rate increase to customers. Last week, the State Regulatory Commission, APC, and the attorneys for the communities met to try to reach a settlement in the case or agree on a lower rate increase. There hasn't been any word on the outcome of that meeting yet, but some information can be gleaned from the documents filed with the Regulatory Commission, especially in a filing from September. That's when a regulatory consultant named Ralph Smith submitted testimony to the Regulatory Commission. Smith works for a certified public accounting and regulatory consulting firm. He has a slew of credentials, including as a CPA and attorney, and has consulted on more than 600 regulatory proceedings. He was appearing in the case on behalf of Alaska's Attorney General. In his testimony, Smith first points out that APC did not file a cost of service study in support of its proposed rate increase. Throughout a lot of technical jargon and more than 40 pages of testimony, Smith said he determined that the revenue study APC filed were mathematically accurate, but Smith did not agree with the rationale for every adjustment the company laid out. For example, Smith identified about $19,000 of expenses included in the company's revenue study spent on advertising and promotional materials. Smith said those expenditures should not have been included in the study because they are not expenses to provide safe and reliable utility service. Smith also pointed out concerns with APC's employee bonuses and said those should not be allowed in calculations to support the rate increase either. Alaska Power Company's CEO Bob Grimm reportedly received a bonus in 2010, 11, and 12, ranging between $31,000 to about $40,000. That's in addition to his salary that topped out at $224,000 in 2012. Smith said Grimm's jump in salary between 2011 and 2012 was unreasonably high, especially considering 2012 was a so-called test year that Alaska Power Company used to show reasoning for why it is requesting a rate increase. Smith also addressed what he calls extremely high electric rates in at least two of its areas, where rates are as high as 33.9 cents per kilowatt hour. He says APC should be required to file a cost of service study in its next rate case to understand why some rates are so high. He says during his testimony that there is a concern that without some type of rate mitigation, the cost of electric service in some communities will become unaffordable, if it hasn't already. Smith makes his own recommendations for the case, namely that the Regulatory Commission should approve a 5.51% increase, as opposed to the 18% increase requested. 5.5 is also lower than the 6% increase already implemented in the interim. The power company had filed to have some of Smith's testimony remain confidential, namely the information about Grimm's bonuses and compensation, but a judge denied that request. The Regulatory Commission of Alaska has until February to make a decision on the rate increase, if it's not settled between all parties by then. After 5 years in the state capitol, Democratic Senator Dennis Egan is facing opposition. He's running against Republican Tom Williams for the Senate District Q, which represents Juneau, Haines, Clutquan, Gustavus, and Skagway. Lisa Fu has more on the two candidates.
Tom Williams didn't file to run against Senator Dennis Egan until June 2nd, the filing deadline. He says he didn't want to see Egan go unopposed like in 2010. Williams wants to give people a choice.
If there's no competition, how are you really going to vet somebody? These jobs are not because you come from a family that's been involved in politics or have a name. It really ought to be about what somebody has to offer.
Williams says what he offers is budget experience. Since moving to Alaska in 1977, Williams has worked for the Division of Legislative Audit, Department of Revenue Enforcement Division, Permanent Fund Dividend Division, and was a staffer to Fairbanks Senators Steve Frank and Bert Sharp, both co-chairs of the Finance Committee. Williams is the chief financial officer for charter company Ward Air.
Somebody said that there's no senator, current senator, or senatorial candidate that has anywhere near the financial experience in their pre-legislative life. Nobody brings that external view to the legislature like I would.
Dennis Egan, son of Alaska's first governor, William Egan, has had a career in broadcasting and held a number of positions in local government before his time in the Capitol. He's been Juneau mayor, an assemblyman, and a planning commissioner. Egan was appointed to the Senate by then-Governor Sarah Palin in April of 2009, ending a stalemate between Palin and Senate Democrats. Egan says he's done a good job ever since.
I think that I have a good working relationship with both Democrats and Republicans, and I think I've brought home a lot of bacon to the Capitol.
Egan points out the state Capitol building is about halfway through its four-year renovation. He says he's especially proud of helping secure $139 million to construct the State Libraries, Archives, and Museum Building, also known as SLAM. What Egan is not happy about is school funding. While the governor's education bill did increase per-student funding, also known as the base student allocation, by $250 over 3 years, Egan says it's still not enough.
To make Juneau self-sustaining, we need an increase in the BSA of $423. We didn't even get close. In fact, over 3 years, we won't even be close to what Juneau needs to make our school system sustainable.
Williams doesn't necessarily think more funding to schools is the answer.
I think we ought to be looking not at just throwing money at something. And it's not throwing money at it. I mean, that's a very critical role of the state, is to provide education for our residents. But, you know, you don't always just get something by spending more money on it. What alternatives are there? What can we do to fix something, make it easier to do your job, to get that result if you don't have any more money?
The two also disagree on expanding Medicaid coverage in Alaska, something Governor Sean Parnell has resisted. Egan is for it.
There are a lot of people that are falling through the cracks, and people that can't afford basic insurance. But with Medicaid, at least they get some benefit, and it's funded by the federal government to a great degree. So why are we not accepting the money?
William says Medicaid is a welfare program that seems compassionate, but really isn't.
I don't think what we need to do is making people more and more dependent on government. I think what we need to do is make opportunities out there where we can grow the economy, provide people an opportunity to get a job that they can then afford their own health care.
Both Egan and Williams are in favor of the Juneau Access Project, but Egan is clear about also being pro-ferry. When he was on the Senate Finance Committee, he says $125 million was allocated for an Alaska-class ferry, one that could replace mainliners like the Taku and the Malaspina. Instead, he says the ferries being built in Ketchikan are day boats.
The original day boats were open deck, which was just bizarre. I'm chair of Senate Transportation, and I think through our efforts and efforts of House Transportation, we convinced the state to at least enclose the ferries.
On the ballot measures, the two agree on voting against marijuana legalization and against requiring legislative approval for large-scale mining around Bristol Bay. While they have different feelings about the pebble mine, both think science should lead the decision, not legislators. Egan is for raising the minimum wage. Williams thinks it could hurt businesses. On election night, Egan plans to be in Juneau, awaiting the results. Williams will be in Uganda with his wife as part of a three-week trip in Africa. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Lisa Fu for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.